If you're a founder, you know that fundraising is a big part of the job. What you might not know is that Carta is there to help. Carta's new fundraising suite provides startups of all stages the best tools and support to easily issue SAFEs, accurately forecast dilution, and quickly close funding rounds. Save time, money, and make your next round your best yet. To learn more or to get started, go to carta.com/fundraise. That's carta.com/fundraise. Welcome to Inks for Starters with Alexa Von Tobel. I'm Alexa, a serial entrepreneur myself and founder and managing partner of Inspired Capital, a venture firm that backs fearless founders who are solving some of the biggest challenges facing humanity. Now in our sixth season, we sit down each week with one of the best founders on the planet to hear their story of guts, inspiration, and drive. Let's dive right in. Hi, everybody. I'm your host, Alexa Von Tobel. And this week, I'm excited for you to meet Sami Inkinen, co-founder and CEO of Virta Health, the leader in type 2 diabetes reversal and creator of a new standard in medical care for people living with type 2 diabetes, prediabetes, or obesity. A data-driven technology entrepreneur, Sami's personal connection to diabetes and passion to advance health on the global scale was a motivation behind Virta Health and its innovative approach to diabetes care. He launched in 2014 with a mission to reverse type 2 diabetes in 100 million people worldwide. Before Virta Health, Sami co-founded Trulia, the leading online real estate marketplace, where he served as its COO, president, and board member until its IPO and eventual sale to Zillow. He also worked at Microsoft's strategy team for MS Office and as a consultant for McKinsey. To raise awareness around the dangers of sugar and its connection to diabetes, Sami started Fat Chance Row during the summer of 2014. Sami and his wife rode from California to Hawaii, 2,750 miles, completely unsupported. He is also a triathlon age group world champion and an 8-hour, 24-minute Ironman with 7 Hawaii Ironman finishes. A physicist by training, Sami started his career as a radiochemist at a nuclear power plant and holds a master's of science in engineering physics. He also earned his MBA from Stanford. With that long list of accomplishments, let's welcome Sami. Sami, welcome. I'm so excited to have you, and I'm really excited to talk all about Virta Health, which obviously has a massive mission that you care deeply about. But let's just start from the beginning. Virta Health, what is it in your own words?
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks for having me here. Well, at Virta, we're on a mission to reverse type 2 diabetes in 100 million people. So that's why we exist. And very briefly about the background, I would say metabolic disease, specifically type 2 diabetes and obesity, is the biggest health challenge of our generation. Globally, more than 1 billion people suffer from diabetes and obesity, and it's just growing and growing. And historically, these diseases have been treated as a chronic and progressive disease, where the treatment has been managing the disease, so prescribing medications like insulin to keep your blood sugar down. So the innovation and very differentiated approach that Virta has is to say, hey, wait a second, that's not actually true. You can fundamentally reverse type 2 diabetes and obesity through nutrition. And then, of course, we use technology and telemedicine to deliver the treatment and deliver the behavior change.
Can we go back to your aha moment in 2014? What made you decide that it was time to build another company, especially after Trulia had been so successful?
Yeah, well, quite honestly, I was pretty tired from the Trulia journey, as amazing as it was. So I was very trigger shy to start anything, because many first-time entrepreneurs don't think about, like, if you're actually successful, good news, it's a 20-year journey likely. And, you know, it's very, very hard. So you better be very, very committed to it and kind of feel in your bone marrow that this is exciting. So what ended up happening to me was way beyond kind of an analytical decision that here's another business opportunity. What happened to me was, throughout those years that me and my co-founder Pete were building Trulia, this real estate marketplace, I was also a pretty high-performing endurance athlete. So if you had asked me at that point, like, how about solving diabetes and obesity? I would have said, are you kidding me? There's no way to do that, because it's a personal choice, right? You eat too much and maybe you don't exercise, you don't take care of yourself. So long story short, what ended up happening to me, despite my triathlon accomplishments and trying to take care of myself, I actually found that I was on my way to type 2 diabetes myself, and I was already pre-diabetic. And, you know, obviously there were many steps after that, but that just blew my mind away in a kind of a negative way. And I started asking, what the heck's going on here? Like, I'm doing all the right things, yet I'm developing type 2 diabetes. So there's probably something we don't know here. And then through my own stumbles, met with a couple of scientists and clinicians who ended up becoming my co-founder when I became basically convinced, and obviously I was wrong. It's not a personal choice because I was getting sick. But then the other discovery was that the way we are using nutrition today and the way we are treating type 2 diabetes and pre-diabetes is actually not correct. And there's a better way to actually nutritionally address and reverse. And so long story short, I just felt that this isn't a question of, oh, should I start another company? This was a question of, we're kind of sitting on a secret. We can solve a problem that most people had no idea how to solve. And I actually became so excited. It's kind of like the falling in love with someone. Like, you can't explain why, how. You just feel like, I've got to go and make it happen. And I can't believe that was 9 years ago. And here we are.
I love it, Tommy. And I love it that it was born out of such an honest and important personal choice. Let's walk through the Virta treatment plan. What does it look like for a patient to come to Virta and then to work to reverse the diagnosis? How do you do that?
Whenever I mention nutrition, people usually think, well, wait a second, haven't all traditional diet and exercise programs failed? And that is a fact. All traditional diet and exercise programs that rely on hunger, calorie restriction, and quote unquote willpower, they have failed historically and objectively. So how is Virta different and what do we actually do? One, the way we use individualized nutrition is that none of our patients have to restrict calories. So they always eat to satiety. And we use nutrition to eliminate unnecessary hunger and cravings. Piece two is how we deliver the nutrition is all lifestyle change and behavior change. So we don't sell shakes, bars, anything. It's all lifestyle change and behavior change. And then I would say the piece three is the way we deliver care is fully digital. It is medical provider, so medical doctor and coach led. So when you become one of our patients or members, we assign you a real doctor and a coach, and then you interface and interact with them through our smartphone app effectively. And we collect a ton of data about you, both sort of subjective and qualitative, as well as blood biomarkers on a daily basis. So then our system, our software, and our coaches and our providers know exactly what's happening to your body and if you're on the right track. And then based on that, we adjust your nutrition more or less on a daily basis. So that's kind of how it works. And that's how we've achieved type 2 diabetes reversal now at a pretty large scale already.
When you launched Virta, you clearly stated your mission, which is to reverse type 2 diabetes in 100 million people. Where are you on that journey today?
Well, I would say a couple of things. One, more than 100,000 people have already benefited from our treatment. Then, and it's only in the US. It's in a very large scale. Then on the commercial side, we work with payers, so self-insured employers and health plans and government who pay. So Virta is actually free for our members, our patients. By the way, B2B sales in healthcare is slow and hard. So we had about 20, 25 big clients early 2020 when COVID hit. Now we have nearly 500. So we work with massive entities like Papa John's, U-Haul, UPS, United Airlines. So these are large employers, self-insured employers, our clients. Some health plans like Humana, or Blue Shield of California, and then some government entities, even the Veterans Administration covers the Virta treatment for veterans. And financially, we're, you know, still a privately held company, but I would say we're very solidly in a pre-IPO phase in terms of revenue scale and profitability scale and everything. And we raised 300 million plus in equity financing. And I would say, well, these sound kind of high level numbers and we can talk about business metrics, but at the end of the day, every member we treat, it's a human being, it's a person. And I'd say sort of blows my mind is we have a patient who decided to permanently tattoo this Virta logo that I have in my t-shirt in their body after we reverse their type 2 diabetes. And I'd say the only thing better than a user or customer with the tattoo is more than one. So I know of four of our users who tattooed the logo.
That's really incredible and obviously such a clear indication of just how the product has changed their life so dramatically.
Exactly.
You describe yourself as a very data-driven entrepreneur, and Virta's product has a data flywheel at its core. Can you talk a little bit about how you thought about that IP and what about the product works so strongly?
in traditional medicine, if you go and see your primary care doctor 2-3 times a year, they write something to your charts, whether that's on paper or electronic. There really isn't like a traditional, like a tech company digital iteration wheel. So the data goes into your chart and they kind of repeat the same treatment or recommendation based on guidelines the next time you come in. So that doesn't really exist. On the other hand, for pharma companies, you know, they develop a new molecule. They come up with a new molecule, they get FDA approval, they patent it, and then for 25 years, they sell the same molecule, whether it's a pill or injection. There isn't like constant iteration. What we can do, or not just can do, but have been doing since basically day one, is every patient that we treat, every day we collect 2, 3, 4, 5 digital data points, whether that's blood glucose or blood ketones or weight. So every patient that we treat every day, we can use almost like a clinical trial of one to further improve the treatment. And that's pretty new in medicine. So I'll give you a practical example. Obviously, we have providers, we have coaches, but you know, they have tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of patients to treat. In a traditional medicine, you'd be flipping charts and saying, oh, I wonder who, okay, here's Joe. What's going on with Joe? What do we do? So we can use software to score all the members and say, here's the 5 that you should focus on today. Focus on these 5. And for these 5, the first one, there's a retention risk. And here are the 3 most likely reasons. Therefore, maybe you should give some, I don't know, positive encouragement, or you change the nutrition, or you change their medication. So that's an example of where we were able to, since the early days, to improve outcomes, improve retention, based on the data that we're collecting. So that's one of the beauties of digital medicine, where you collect a lot of data and you can use that in a proactive, pragmatic, practical way to basically improve the treatment on a nearly daily basis.
I love that so much. Given that you're a repeat entrepreneur, what do you bring from your Trulia, you know, IPO experience to this business in its second iteration that helped you go faster?
Yeah, good question. What allows to go faster? One is, to go fast, you actually have to go slow. Anyone can do 3 all-nighters. Anyone can do a sprint. But to be able to be, and not to brag too much, but 24 years as a co-founder, CEO, CEO, president, like a real operator, it is absolutely impossible unless you pace yourself. Meaning, you take care of yourself, you take care of your team, you take care of your physical health, you take care of your mental health. And the same with sort of company decisions as well. Unnecessary rush and thinking that it's all about the next 24 hours, realizing that that's not true and knowing how to pace yourself, I think is one way in which I've allowed myself and my team and our teams to actually go faster and deliver impact. So that's the one thing I'll mention there. And then the second thing I would say, even at Trulia still, I just felt like I was drowning all the time. And the truth is, as an entrepreneur, your work will never be done by working, because you could just do unlimited amount of things. And so the realization that at any given moment, 1 or 2 or 3 things, not 300, make all the difference. And being able to kind of distill on any given Monday or any given quarter, like what is the 1 or 2 things, and then really focus on those, I think is another way in which I've learned to be able to go faster.
Sami, there's this quote of yours that I really, really love, where you said, only hard decisions create a lot of value. Tell us what you mean by that.
Well, I will say another quote that I say, and then I'll explain that. I often tell my team members when like something hard or an obstacle or unexpected things happens, and they're like, oh my God, why us, why me? Oh my God, this is going to be so hard. And I say, nobody at Virto was hired to observe perfection. Instead, your work is to constantly find the next challenge and obstacle and try to overcome that. And so that's kind of the same thing as only like very hard decisions create a lot of value, that I think obvious things and easy things happen by itself. And I think the more senior you are as a leader, the fewer decisions you should make and harder decisions you should make to create the most value. And oftentimes these are maybe decisions that afterwards turn out to be obvious, but you make them like 6 months before it's too obvious. Like in our business, type 2 diabetes, obesity, these GLP-1 drugs like Ozempic and others were approved for weight loss. That was a huge kind of externality that was happening and changing. Luckily, we had a lot of experience with these medications and so forth a couple of years ago. But we had to make certain decisions. How do we operate as a company? I'd say 6 to 9 months before it was obvious. And so one example of a hard decision is that in order to create the most value, you have to make it in the absence of perfect information. And the more senior you are as a leader, the more you have to focus on those types of decisions.
I love that so much, which is your job as a senior leader or CEO is you're making decisions that don't have clear calls. Sami, last question just about the category of healthcare. If you fast forward 5 years, 10 years, what predictions do you have about the category that seem very obvious to you that maybe aren't obvious to others around you?
Let me start from what's kind of closest to my heart. The fact that the largest category of our healthcare costs and health issues that we deal is metabolic health, meaning cardiovascular disease, type 2 diabetes, obesity, inflammation, like a whole host of things, kidneys pop up, we get heart attacks, whatnot. The fact that that's more than half of all the money we spend on healthcare, and the fact that we treat these diseases by managing the symptoms rather than addressing the root cause as something where you can only patch the symptoms, and there's a drug for every little symptom, and then you have another drug to deal with the side effects of that first drug, is we're going to wake up, hopefully in a decade, not just we at Inside the Virta, but in a decade and say, this is ridiculous. Spoiler alert, nutrition is 95% of the solution to address the root cause. And the fact that you can get through Harvard Medical School with something like 15 minutes of nutrition training, and you can graduate first of your class, Harvard Medical School in America, to be a medical doctor, is wow. Insanely backwards. You know, obviously that's what we are trying to change the Virta and say, these diseases, the metabolic disease bundle, diabetes, obesity, and tons of others, are reversible conditions. They're not magical things that popped out of our genes. They're reversible conditions, and nutrition is the 95% solution.
Last question, and then we're going to transition to you. How do you eat?
Yeah, well, a very good question. First, I'll start by saying that now, having lived in America for 21 years, I've learned that there's three topics you want to stay away to keep your friends. It's religion, politics, and diets. So are you asking me to step into the landmine number three? Now I will. I'll say a few things to kind of be factual, but also be safe. So here's my three things that I eat, and I would encourage everyone else to consider the same. One, I eat when I'm hungry. So I'm not like, oh my God, you need to eat five meals a day. No. I eat when I'm hungry, because that's what the body tells me. So that's one. Second, I eat as much real food as possible. You know what real food looks like when you go to a store, whether that's eggs or meat or broccoli or carrots or milk or whatnot, like as much real food as possible. And then the third one, I basically don't touch any added or visible sugar really at all, like absolutely nothing. And I have two little daughters and they can pretty much eat what they want. But one thing, we're very militant, no sugar, juices, sodas, absolutely nothing.
And we'll be right back after a message from our sponsors. Alexa here. Not only do I get the opportunity to speak with all types of founders on For Starters, but I'm a repeat founder myself. We all know how vital fundraising is to a startup. Carta knows this too. That's why they had founders in mind when they created their fundraising suite, providing tools and support to take the friction out of fundraising. They save founders time and money, allowing you to focus on your goals, not the admin work needed to close a round. From simply issuing safes to quickly receiving funds, Carta Fundraising Suite helps their cap table customers raise a better fundraising round. To learn more or to get started, go to carta.com/fundraise. That's carta.com/fundraise. Let's transition to you, Sami. What was it like growing up on a farm in Finland? What do you think was the most important thing from your childhood that got you to be here as a 3-time repeat, very successful entrepreneur?
Yeah. So indeed, I grew up on a farm in Finland. My parents were sort of blue collar factory workers, but my dad inherited a little farm from his parents. And, you know, we had pigs and chickens and gardens and grew potatoes basically to produce, I don't know, 50, 60, 70% of our daily forward would save the money. So it was very, 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 very humble, I'd say lower middle class beginnings. And my parents did not even go to high school. It was a lovely childhood, like lots of manual labor and everything. But I would say by Finnish standards, incredibly humble beginnings, I would say. And so to answer your question, the factual answer is I have no idea. And most people have no idea. Nature, nurture, this and that. Obviously, I have a narrative. I have a story, which may or may not be true, is the following. One, I learned the kind of value and joy of kind of manual labor and hard work early. I had to do like firewood and picking potatoes and whatever. Like we were working all the time and I was asked to work all the time. So it became a norm to me to be active and doing something. So I think that's one thing that's kind of now built into me. So that's one thing. Second thing is I got lucky in the gene lottery that I was very good at math and physics and stuff. Ended up doing masters in physics. And in Finland, fortunately, education is free. So if you hit high test scores in math, you can go as far as you want. And that's been very helpful in my professional work. And obviously with good academics, I went to Stanford for my MBAs. And then the third piece is, this may sound crazy, but I feel like I've never worked a single day in my life. I feel fortunate that I've always had this desire to use my creativity to create a product or service or whatnot that other people would use. And I've always jumped from one project to another. And it's been, I guess, economically valuable enough that I've been able to pay my salary or create value. But that's something, I don't know if it was learned or it was wired into my brain, but I've always been thinking about. And I'll give you one example that even at the farm, which is kind of crazy to think about, I started and ran one of the first BBSs, so bulletin board systems, sort of pre-internet in Finland, from using my parents' phone line. And that was an example of why did I do it? Well, I got into computers, but I wanted to create something that other people would use and get value of. And I felt sort of proud, and it just felt amazing to put something out there in the world, and then people are dialing in and using it and getting benefit out of it. And then, of course, leap from a farm to Silicon Valley, there's a lot of filling in the blanks, how the heck that's possible. But I've just kind of followed that thread, like, hey, where can I try my skills and push myself and create something that helps other people?
I'm really glad you're talking about how you push yourself, because that's where I was going to go next, which is we've had some of the best founders on the entire planet on this podcast, and everyone has a knack for hard work. However, none perhaps potentially at the level you have. For example, you literally rode with your wife from California to Hawaii on a 45-day journey. What was that like? Like, how did you sleep? What did that look like? And how did you know you were safe? But then where did that drive come from?
Yeah, well, let's first give credit to the person who did most of the work, which is my wife. Yeah, you married the right person. And then she did most of the work and I'm taking most of the credit, I guess. It was a long journey and it tests yourself, tests your marriage and teaches you a lot of things. I guess you had a couple of questions there. The inspiration came actually from a book called Unbroken by Laura Hillebrand, which is a phenomenal story of a Second World War kind of Air Force survival story. And then the main motivation behind the journey was, it was kind of a pre-Virta. So how do we help people realize the power of nutrition and dangers of sugar? So we wanted to do this adventure to show that you can exercise 18 hours a day, which we did, and do as much work or burn as many calories and running 2 marathons a day without any of the stuff that is marketed on TV and online that you have to take, which is sugar, Gatorade, soda, whatnot. Like, you don't need that. Your body can do these things without sugar. So anyway, those were the motivating drivers. But I think why that kind of crazy, why not, I don't know, walk on Embarcadero in San Francisco would be easier than rowing. I think for me personally, it goes back a little bit to my upbringing on a farm. Like, it was just manual labor, outdoors, endurance sports. That was built into me very early. And I still have that kind of desire to do something physical, sweating. Sometimes I've said, I like to taste the blood in my mouth when I go really hard running on a bicycle, which sounds crazy. But to me, that's the full human experience. And obviously, I spend a lot of time at work. I use my limbs to transport my brain from one meeting to another. And I just feel that's a very limiting human experience.
I love that. First of all, I mean, it just gives you such a good sense of your value system and sort of how you approach things in life, which is you find a lot of beauty in hard work. I love learning this little fact that you're a physicist by training. How do you think your roots in science have impacted your approach to entrepreneurship?
Yeah, indeed, I ended up, my sort of college university training was bachelor's and master's in technical physics, which, just as an anecdote, the reason I chose that was it was the hardest department to get in based on the entrance exam points, because I didn't have role models from my parents. Like, you know, there were no doctors, lawyers, business people in my family. It's like, I don't know what to do. So the hardest to get into must be somehow useful. And so that's how I kind of ended up going there and actually had a job briefly in a nuclear power plant as well in Finland. So has that actually helped me? There's a couple of things. One, I would say, because it did not prepare me for anything, yet it prepared me for everything. I felt like I had sort of a buffet of the world in front of me. I kind of had skills, but like I wasn't like car mechanic or computer software engineer, although I did a lot of programming. So I think that was one, that I felt like everything's open and I can kind of dabble on anything. I think that was helpful. And then a second thing, which I have said many times, is I do think that when you do a lot of math and physics in your formative years, in your late teens and 20s and early 20s, it does teach you to kind of solve intellectual problems. You put them into pieces. Something seems insurmountable. Like, there's no, I have no idea. But then you start slicing and dicing it into pieces and you go step by step, block by block. Well, guess what? That's almost like parenting. That's almost like building a company. That's like fundraising, I don't know, products, software, whatnot. So I do think there's mental models that you learn that have been helpful.
I love it. I want to move to the quick fire round. I'm going to ask you a question. You just tell us the first thing that comes to your mind. What gets you out of bed every day?
I think it's just the beauty of being alive. Literally, it sounds very world-hugging, but it's a freaking miracle that on this one planet, among the trillions of potential human beings, you and me are alive right now, and we can breathe here. We can think. It's just like ridiculously awesome.
I love that. What is a book that you've read that has had a material impact on your life? And it can be any kind of book.
The one that hit very deep into my heart or bone marrow and everywhere was The Wild Edge of Sorrow. I think that's the name of it. It's a couple of years ago when my dad died. And of course, you know, I had not dealt with that kind of grief ever in my life. And so one friend recommended that, and reading that gave me tools how to deal with grief and loss and death and rituals and things. So yeah, that was very topical at the time, but now I recommend it to a lot of people who've had death in family.
I love that. What is one thing as a founder that you hold as sacred?
I think authenticity. Authenticity. Yeah.
I like that a lot. Last two questions. What is a quote that is like something you just really hold on to?
I created this during the row across Pacific from California to Hawaii, and it's in my iPhone alarm when it goes in the morning, the text. It's get uncomfortable. And that lightning kind of stroke or hit me during the row when I was debating if I should actually start another company, meaning Verta, to reverse type 2 diabetes on a million people. And it hit me that the periods in my life that has been most fulfilling and gratifying have been the periods when I've gotten uncomfortable. Not over the edge uncomfortable, but somewhat uncomfortable. And I think human mind is programmed to gravitate towards comfort, food, shelter, warmth, ease. But it's never been a source of fulfillment for me if that lasts for too long.
I love that so much. Last question. What is your biggest pinch me moment to date in your career?
Oh my God, there's so many. In Verta context, I have to say 2015, when the very, very first case of a patient who reversed their type 2 diabetes, so they were completely off of diabetes medications, their blood sugar was in a non-diabetic range. It's like the N equals one, here's a human, it happened. Type 2 diabetes reversal is possible. And, you know, we had nothing to show, no revenues. We were so early. But that moment, I feel that oftentimes when you do something new, from zero to one is rocket science. One to million is just hard work.
Oh my gosh, I love that so much. zero to one is rocket science. One to a million is just hard work. I think that is the best quotes I've ever heard. I love that, Sami. Okay, first of all, thank you so much for joining us today. You are such an inspiration. Everybody out there, if you want to learn more, please check out vertahealth.com. Sami is on a revolution here. And you can join us next week for a new episode of For Starters with Alexa Von Tobel. Sami, we're rooting for you. Congratulations. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Alexa.